Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We are kicking off the third hour of the show. The phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. At 603-283-6160. You know that Colorado baker who's been in and out of court over the years?
Yeah, man. The one that, you know, LGBTQ people should just stop messing
they
with.
Just won't leave him alone.
Just leave the dude alone. You know how he feels. You're not going to convince him. He's not going to convince you. Just leave him the hell alone.
He's back in the news again in another court case. We'll tell you about what happened. This time it's a transgender cake.
Of course it is.
And we'll share that with you coming up here at Ian and Aria's. We're going to your phone calls, though. Phones are blowing up here all of a sudden. We're going to Rob to start things out here in Hour 3. Calling from Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live, Rob.
Okay, so before I get into what I want to discuss, I want to say, geez, I'm real sorry that your governor there, he vetoed the legalization of cannabis again.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, yeah, I have not heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? He doesn't get it? Or yeah. Oh.
I'm sort of surprised. The last I heard about him, he was more open to the concept than he had been previously, as I understood it.
I think it's a little too early to say, Rob, because the bills for this year haven't gone through both sides of the House and the Senate yet. So I suspect that what you're referring to is that he is likely to veto. There has not been any kind of verbal support from Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, for cannabis. But the bills that are being proposed are still being heard, and they haven't even made it over to the Senate side of the chamber yet. There hasn't even been a vote, from my awareness, on the House side yet.
It's so absurd, guys. Just legalize the stupid plant at this point. New Hampshire is surrounded by states with legal pot. There is tons of pot in New Hampshire.
It's really the question of when and how it's going to happen, more so than if. I'm pretty sure, yeah, like most people politically in New Hampshire, they know this is going to transpire. They know that it's going to happen. The question is,
I thought when I saw that it was in the union leader, but, you know, I mean, but whatever. But, I mean, that's not why I called. I called because, you know, you were talking about, you know, radio, AM radio and stuff like that. And, you know, but AM radio is just, it's all, the stuff that you hear from them is just all from the government. And they, you know, that's the way that they sort of control people, you know. And you have other public officials like the police that come into the AM radio shows. They tell you, you know, how things are going to be, and, you know, members of the city council and, you know, the county attorney and stuff like that. And it's just, it happens all over the place around the, you know, the United States. And these are the people that make the decisions for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And until the people stand up and say, well, no, we're not going to do that. And it has to come from the people. You know, it's like, you know, the poor guy that was beat to death down in Tennessee. You know, the people need to stand up. We need to start the largest grassroots movement that this country has ever seen. We need to hold the police accountable. They need to turn over qualified immunity. Get that the hell out of there.
I appreciate the passion, Rob. I do definitely want to see qualified immunity go away. It makes me wonder if there's any bills in front of New Hampshire State House this year to do that. That's one worth looking into for sure.
I've been avoiding this because from what I've heard, it's really, really grisly and barbaric, as I understood it, Rob. I haven't seen any of the videos, but...
Oh, the recent beating in Tennessee?
They beat this dude to death, right? Like Kelly Thomas, the schizophrenic guy.
He died three days later because of the injuries. But yes, I mean, they beat him to death, just not... He didn't die at the scene.
Right. Well, neither did Kelly Thomas, but, I mean, they kicked his skull in with flashlights.
Right.
You know, the thing that really gets me most of all about this police beating down in Tennessee is that, you know, I learned last night that that guy was a brand new dad.
Jeez.
You know, and it just enrages me when I hear, you know, stuff like that. Really does. And I'm hoping that the things that I'm sharing, that people will listen to this and take this seriously. You know, I don't know what else to say, but I'm really upset. And I hope a lot of other people, you know, will take into this march and protest peacefully. But we need more people.
Thank you, Rob, for the Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Where we really need more people is libertarians migrating to New Hampshire. We need more libertarians, preferably libertarian activists, people that are willing to actually pick up and get active when they get here to help us achieve more liberty in our lifetime. It's, you know, we've made a tremendous strides here in New Hampshire with the few thousand migrants that we've had so far. I mean, it can't be more than I've heard. I think Stephen Nass, who's a Seacoast migrant, has estimated as high as 8,000. I just don't buy it. I don't think that's
maybe overall, but a lot of those have also moved away.
No way. There's no way. I mean, the last time I saw the Free State Project's numbers, it was like 3,000 or 4,000 or something like that. And I mean,
is everyone who moves here as part of the Free State Project going to be registered to that or
no? No, there could be more than that. That's true. But they started counting, like, the in-state people at some point as well. So the numbers
right,
have
did.
Gotten kind of muddy over the years. And so it's not real clear how many, at least last I heard, it wasn't real clear from the Free State Project how many people had moved. They did say they had a record number of movers in 2021. I have not heard what the numbers were for 2022. I know they're having their Porcupine Day coming up, I believe, this weekend. So presumably that information will be given out at that time. I'm hoping that they have more people that moved in 2022 than moved in 2021. So, I mean, it would be great to keep seeing new records being broken, seeing over 1,000 people move, because I believe that's what it was in 2021, was over 1,000 Free Staters made their move. It was more Free Staters moved in that 1 year than in the past 10 years combined.
Well, there was COVID-19.
Yeah.
That spurred a lot of people. Oh, crap, I should probably actually get somewhere where I can be among, like, like-minded people.
Get serious.
Yeah.
Do something. Take action. Because libertarians elsewhere are not, you know, even if they're quote-unquote serious, they're not doing anything of serious note. They're not getting any kind of serious media coverage.
No, they're fighting over county affiliates and who they're going to send to the national convention, and they're going to fight at the national convention and still accomplishing nothing.
They're not beating out the Republicans and Democrats, that's for sure. And the Republicans and Democrats aren't even concerned about libertarians anywhere else. Here, oh, yeah, they're concerned about the libertarians. The Democrats know that the libertarians have taken, basically, not quite, but are in the process of taking over the Republican Party. They're aware of that.
And it depends on where you're at, right? Like here in Cheshire County, while we were active among the Republicans, like half of the Republican committee or half of the Republican county, whatever it would be called, were effectively libertarians.
You mean the Keene one?
Yeah, that's what county. I meant, county. Yeah. I mean, that's what I meant, Keene, not county.
Yeah, and then they booted us off after a little while.
They did.
So, you know, we didn't have much success here on that one, but Cheshire County's a Democrat-held zone anyway. But, you know, the Democrats were actually marketing during the campaign this year against the Free Staters. They were trying to alert the Republicans to the Free Staters in their midst to try...
But the messaging was so unclear.
It was bad.
Right? It was like, this person supports public school freedom, and it's like, or education freedom. It's like, this is your slander attack? That this person supports education choice? I've got to remember to change my registration soon, though, because I'm sick of being a Republican. I'm not a Republican, so I'm sick of having that R there. And I've trolled the Republicans. I'm done doing that. There's not much more joy I can get out of trolling the Republicans at this point.
Sure.
And I think the Democrat is a more suitable home. For me.
I think it'd be interesting to see how it goes. And I know, didn't you sign up for their email list or something at one point? Did they ever send you anything?
The Democrats?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my memory.
You don't recall signing up for it? Or
no.
They never sent you anything?
I don't recall signing up for it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I'm curious to see how they handle your appearance at their meeting or whatever and see. Because, like, the Republicans were kind. They were, at least to your face. They were
welcoming to you.
And I wonder how the Democrats will be, if they will be the same way.
Kind to my face? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how people are, right?
We'll see. We'll see about that.
Especially these politically motivated people. They're like, oh, well, we love trans people. Welcome, Arya. And then as soon as doors close, they're like, what can we do to get that tranny out of here?
She's not a real tranny.
Right.
She's not one of the community or whatever.
But she's not one of the collective.
What is she doing here?
She's friends with the Free State Project people. She's not a real Democrat. Like, no, look, I agree with your policies more often than I disagree with them, and I agree with your goals almost 100%. I just prefer a different path to get there, one that is focused on freedom and individuality rather than collectivism and oppression.
Yeah, I like to say when I was a Democrat here in New Hampshire and running for governor that I'm progressing toward freedom.
Yeah, right.
You know? But
I'm tremendously I'm probably more progressive than your average Cheshire Democrat.
Right. So I'm sure you'll update us as that drama
continues. I'm going to do that. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. I think I can do it tomorrow, actually.
All right, cool.
I got out of work at 4, so that gives me plenty of time to pop over to City Hall and make that little
change it up.
I will be happy. I'm not going to lie. I will be happy to not have an R next to my name.
Indeed. So Rob did bring up the question of cannabis legalization here in New Hampshire, and there is news about it today, but it's not anything about what the governor is or isn't per se going to do. It's about... is it going to get through this year? And it does address whether or not the governor is going to do anything about it. The story here is from Ethan DeWitt from the New Hampshire Bulletin, and they say that efforts to legalize cannabis are coming back this legislative session, because it comes back every time, after years of defeats. Lawmakers have tried simple legalization bills and complex legislation. Both approaches have crashed against opposition in the state Senate. But this year, supporters say they're coming at the problem with their biggest coalition yet, a sprawling bill to legalize the drug, allow for it to be grown at home, and regulate and tax retail operations is set to be introduced in New Hampshire's House this year and has the backing of House Majority Leader Jason Osborne, who's a Free Stater, by the way, and House Democratic Leader Matt Wilhelm.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's as they describe it here, a rare joint effort. I don't know if joint was used purposely. The session's effort has a diverse array of backers in the state, from the ACLU to Americans for Prosperity to the Marijuana Policy Project. Supporters say the final bill is the result of months of discussions with a number of stakeholders. And legalization advocates argue they have their best chance of delivering a bill to Governor Chris Sununu's desk, pointing to a handful of freshman Republican senators who may push them over the line, including the very first ever Free Stater New Hampshire Senator Keith
Murphy.
That's
right. We did get one elected. Yeah.
That's right.
And there's only 12 senators, right?
24.
24, okay. 12 counties, okay. Yeah.
Nope, 10.
Okay, then I don't know. Why are there 24 senators?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody drew a map.
All right.
still, recent history is not on supporters' side, and the Senate can be fickle no matter who sits in it. Sununu, who has veered between opposing cannabis legalization to expressing cautious openness, has not given indications of his position. And while public opinion in the state supports legalization, and has for a long time, by the way, police unions and some health-focused organizations have still urged restraint, suggesting a combative year ahead. Matt Simon, who's also a Free Stater, a longtime legalization advocate who helped craft the latest bill, is optimistic. He said, quote, I think what's going to be different this year is we seem to have a really engaged, diverse coalition that has all bought into this. He serves as the director of public and government relations at the Prime Alternative Treatment Center. That's one of the medical cannabis distributors here in New Hampshire. He's also been a Marijuana Policy Project administrator for some time. The main legalization bill is ambitious. Now, there are several legalization bills that have been put forward this year. Bonnie and I went to the State House last week, and I spoke on one of them that is actually, in my opinion, the best one that I've read in, at least so far this session, the best one I've heard about. It would basically just end prohibition of cannabis for people 21 and up.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, don't add a new law, repeal old laws.
Correct. You know, it's not perfect, and it would still be a violation or something for people 18 to 21, and, you know, it'd still be some sort of a ticketable offense or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not a total end of prohibition for under 21s, but for over 21s, it would basically allow for possession. And the way I read the bill, it would also allow for growing and sales.
Well, isn't it ticketable now? Isn't that what they do if they catch you
with
pot?
Yeah, ticketable. It's up to, I think it's a $100 fine if you get caught with up to 3/4 of an ounce. But this would eliminate that restriction.
Right.
So it would be no ticket if you're over 21. And I don't think there's a limitation on the amount that you can have. I could be wrong, but that was my reading of the bill. It seemed to just be striking things from the law rather than writing a bunch of new paragraphs. So that one I liked. I think it was like HB 360. If you go to freekeen.com, you can see I've got video footage of the entire hearing. So if you want to kind of see what transpired. But it wasn't a well-attended hearing, even though it was held in the full state house. That's because the bill they're talking about in this article, the one that has both the Republican and the Democratic House leaders support.
The sprawling,
the
complicated
sprawling,
bill.
Complicated one. Yeah, that's the one that's got the oomph, the political support bump.
Well, it's
got
to be sprawling to get the Democrats behind it. I'm curious, how often do New Hampshire police, state police, city police, county sheriffs, whatever, how often do they actually enforce any sort of pot law? How,
not
do they
much
ticket
these
someone
days.
Or right?
Not since decrim.
Just about everyone I know smokes pot. I'm one of the few people I know at my job who just
doesn't
smoke
pot. You do work in a pizza place.
Right. And just about all of them smoke pot. Most of them do it openly. It's not uncommon to, like, go to the bar after work on a Sunday night, especially when the weather's warmer so people are sitting outside.
Yeah.
And there are people just right there on the sidewalk of Main Street smoking pot.
That is what I like to hear. I'm really glad to hear that, Aria. I did not know it had gone that far.
Yeah, especially from these college kids. I mean, they don't, like, sit there passing around bowls or whatever,
right.
But you smell pot, you see the people smoking, it's obvious they're smoking pot. Yeah. And, you know, that's the way it should be treated. It should just be, we're okay, there's some people there smoking pot. Oh, look, they're also having a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, look, they're also smoking a cigarette. None of this crap is my business because it's not affecting me. They're grown adults making decisions about what to put in their body. Oh, that person's eating a nacho.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have that cheese. That's bad for them.
Technically, the public consumption of cannabis is still illegal, even though decriminalization is a thing. Smoking it in public is actually it's not like a misdemeanor
right.
or anything like that, but it is still a crime, quote unquote.
That's where you get the ticket, right?
Well, I mean, that would certainly lead you to a ticket for possession, but I think the actual consuming it of cannabis in public is also a separate charge.
Oh, see, they need to get rid of that too, then.
I agree. But it pleases me to know that people are doing it anyway.
Pot. Who cares?
Yeah, and it has gotten to that point where the police are basically looking the other way. So this bill is going to allow adults 21 and up to possess and use cannabis as well as grow up to 6 plants, according to a framework of the bill released in December. It also authorizes businesses to cultivate cannabis and sell it, and creates a process for the state to license those businesses and tax them under the meals and rooms tax. Now, as a libertarian, I'm against taxing cannabis. I'm against, you know, all taxes, period. But, you know, understanding that in order to pass a cannabis legalization bill, generally there's got to be some kind of tax attached to it. This is one of the least offensive proposals because it actually just kind of piggybacks on an existing tax. So it technically doesn't create a quote-unquote new tax. It just simply adds cannabis to the meals and rooms tax. So it would then become the meals, rooms, and cannabis tax, which when you go out to eat in New Hampshire,
yeah.
or you get a hotel room or a campsite, there's a what is now an 8.5% fee. It actually was lowered from 9, I think, last year or the year before. So it's good that they lowered it. Maybe they'll lower it again. But
That'd be nice.
Yeah, 8.5% on those things. And so this bill would just simply add cannabis to that. So that's good because, you know, it's bad because it's a tax.
It's not a,
but it's,
I don't like
not
the precedent, though, of taking things that aren't meals and aren't rooms and applying this tax to them. Maybe next year, like, okay, well, alcohol, let's add this meal and room tax to that.
That's
or,
a good point. Yeah.
You know, whatever else they want to add, gasoline or
a
bag of chips at
a gas
station.
But
let's add that to the meals and rooms. Once they start adding anything to
bad.
Meals and rooms.
Now you got a new sales tax.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely share that concern. But that said, it would make cannabis the least taxed, or at least in New Hampshire, of all of the states in which cannabis has been legalized. New Hampshire would be the lowest of those states as far as taxes are concerned.
All right, so, well, that's something.
Yep, that would be good. And also, I don't believe there's any proposal to have wholesale-level taxes. So, like, in Washington State or Colorado, I believe, definitely in Washington State, there's, like, a wholesaler's tax, and there's a retailer tax. So like at every point the cannabis changes hands, it gets hit with a tax. So there's a lot of taxation on cannabis over there. So that's why
they're paying what, $40 for what we would have called a dime bag.
I don't know if it's that bad over there, but...
I don't know what it's actually like, because I haven't smoked pot since it was legal anywhere. I quit smoking pot around the time that I think Colorado got recreational. Like, that was a long time ago.
So, it says here that is a departure under the last major cannabis bill in the House. The bill that passed the House last year would have authorized only state-run liquor stores to sell cannabis products, with the state collecting the profits rather than taxing private businesses. Last year's effort passed the House, which was a terrible, terrible bill, but received criticism from legalization advocates who bristled at the state's monopoly over sales. I'm so glad that bill didn't...
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, New Hampshire does seem, for whatever reason, they handle alcohol sales very well for the monopoly they have. I mean, people come here from Vermont to buy alcohol from our stores that are state-owned. I applaud New Hampshire for managing to have this monopoly and still having the lowest prices you can find.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
But I don't want to expand that monopoly into other industries, and I don't understand why the state of New Hampshire has a monopoly on liquor in the first place. What sort of nonsense is that? Why is the state selling alcohol? Can someone please explain that to me? I would expect Walmart to sell alcohol, the gas station to sell alcohol, but why in the hell is the state of New Hampshire in the business of buying and selling alcohol?
I don't know. Let's go to the phones, though. Olivia's on the line in Arizona. It's just they had prohibition, and they still have prohibition. It's just a different form.
Yep.
Olivia, go ahead.
Hey, I had a couple of comments about the cannabis prohibition. I work at a store called Ross Dress for Less, and I'm currently actually in Texas at the moment. I'm trying to get back to Arizona, but I'm currently in Texas where cannabis is illegal. And what's really funny about this store, it's like a department store with all kinds of discount things, so you never know what you're going to find there. But we carry a lot of cannabis-themed items, like not just shirts and shoes and hats and socks, but also lately they have had a lot of dog toys with cannabis leaves on them. I'm not even making this up. And I don't know. It just kind of makes me laugh because it's like, here's this thing that's so illegal, they will ruin your life over it. But you can get the little symbol stamped all over.
Yeah. Ross knows their audience, right? They know they've got a lot of people that shop in their stores that use cannabis and appreciate cannabis, and they're more than happy to make money off of those people. Meanwhile, if they get caught with cannabis in Texas, they're going to prison.
Right, right. And the funny thing is when people come in, occasionally you'll have someone who comes in really smells very strongly, like they just got through with their recreational activity. And like managers and people at Rufus, they'll kind of like roll their eyes.
Hold your thoughts, Olivia. If you have more to share, we can continue with retail cannabis stories. If you want to join the show, you can also bring up anything you want here on Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Alec Baldwin is being formally charged with involuntary manslaughter in the deadly 2021 shooting on the film set of Rust in New Mexico. Cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed when Baldwin fired a prop gun loaded with a real bullet. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, the person in charge of prop guns on the movie set, is also facing the same charges as Baldwin. The Santa Fe District Attorney filed those charges today. Embattled New York Congressman George Santos says he will not step down as investigations into his personal and campaign finances play out. However, a new poll from Newsday Siena College revealed 78% of Santos' constituents want him to resign.
He's a liar and a scammer and a criminal.
Meantime, Tuesday, Santos expressed confidence he will be cleared. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. We have time for you. It's Ian and Aria in the studio, and you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You can support the show by going and becoming a Free Talk Live AMPS supporter over at amps.freetalklive.com. amps.freetalklive.com is a way for you to help us advertise, market, promote, and support what we do here on Free Talk Live, talking about the ideas of liberty, peace, and freedom, cryptocurrency, things like that, 7 nights a week on broadcast radio and beyond. You can join that over at amps.freetalklive.com. We got Olivia on the line in Arizona calling in. She works at a clothing store, a retailer, and you were just kind of talking about your experience working in Texas temporarily. I guess they moved you out there for some reason. And that, of course, is a state where cannabis is still quite illegal. And you moved from Arizona, where they had legalization several years ago, if I recall correctly. And you were kind of telling us some of your experiences there.
Yes, yes. So sometimes people come in and they really reek of smoke. And I think back in the day, people used to be extremely scandalized by that. Because I've always had family here in Texas. But lately, people just kind of roll their eyes and they just kind of like laugh it off. Like, wonder what he's been doing.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I miss about, like, smoking pot way back in the day when I was a delivery driver for, you know, a Domino's down in the South, where, like, I would roll up to a customer's house and, like, smoke would just billow out of my car. Not quite as bad as a Cheech and Chong movie, obviously, but all I did all night long was drive around smoking pot. And then I would, you know, get out and hand the people their food. And almost universally, dude, I forgot your drink.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, please don't make me go all the way back to the store. And they're like, all right, man, because I just reeked a pot, right?
Usually, ooh, whoops, I forgot your tip.
Yeah, usually I would be like, all right, I'll just knock the drink off of there or whatever, because I, right, I was be the good. Driver supervisor or whatever.
You could do that.
So I was, yeah.
Okay,
I mean, we used to, dude, I loved that job. It was so much fun. At the end of the night, we legit sat in the back of the store and smoked pot. In the store.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and oh, yeah. Our general manager, our store manager, was the one doing it with
I
us.
I believe
all
it.
All three of us back there smoking pot every night.
I never
great.
Worked in pizza, but I knew people who did, and I'd seen that happen. I've seen the whole crew go out back and get high together, including the manager. Olivia, was there anything else you wanted to share?
Sure. Yeah, everyone knows and loves someone who has or currently uses cannabis. The That's majority true. Of my family and friends do. I had a medical card when I was in Arizona. And I just want to say it's amazing to me that so many plants are highly toxic that are used in landscaping, and they are not illegal. Plants like oleander or datura, or it's called angel's trumpet, or even rhododendrons and azaleas. These are all highly lilies. These are toxic plants. With oleander, if bees make too much honey out of the pollen, it will poison you.
Wow.
And none of these are banned, nor should they be. I don't necessarily think, but this plant that literally calms people down, helps them through all kinds of medical illnesses, and it's just fun for some people. It's not personally fun for me. I really did use it in a medical sense, but some people just enjoy it, and what is wrong with that? I think we need to get over whatever. I have no idea how they were able to create this huge lie. It is the most insane thing. People need to stop believing what they hear people say and actually, I guess, experience it for themselves, honestly.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Olivia, that probably everyone knows and loves someone who uses cannabis. Whether they know that the person uses cannabis or not is really the only question.
Is there anyone out there who themselves, I mean, honestly, at this point in 2023, is there anyone out there themselves who has never smoked pot?
There must be. Absolutely.
Over the age of 18 and under the age of 65.
There's got to be plenty of people that have not smoked pot.
I don't know.
It may be less than a majority,
right.
But
I think it's going to be extremely rare.
My mom is like a super religious authoritarian type, and she is very proud that she has never done that.
Yep.
You know, some people just really take pride in following arbitrary rules for some reason. I don't know why they think they're better than people because they don't know the truth. Like, it's really strange, but...
August of 2021, a Gallup survey found that nearly half of U.S. adults have tried marijuana. The number is up from 45% in 2017 and 2019 to 49%. These are people who have tried at least one time in their life, so not current users. The number of people who currently use cannabis is 12%.
Man, I don't know if I believe that. I feel like there were some people who were lying in that poll. My gut just tells me, and I realize it's a gut feeling, so it's not reliable, and I'm probably wrong, and I'm arguing with the Gallup poll here, but my gut tells me, incorrectly, granted, that more people than that have smoked pot at some point. I would guess it's probably closer to 70%.
Yeah, I mean, demographics, though, you got to keep that in mind as well. Maybe younger people might be more likely to have tried it. They do break down by generations here, that millennials in 2015 through 2021, 51%, Gen X, 49%, boomers, 50%, traditionalists, people described as born before 1946, only 19%. So the oldest generation, the people who are older than the baby boomers, are the least likely to have smoked cannabis.
But
that
it
makes
seems
sense.
To hit 50% and just sort of hover there at the 50% mark.
It does, which is strange.
I don't know. Maybe I buy that. Maybe. I don't know.
It would make sense. The baby boomers would have been the people who... So my parents were born in the early 1950s, and they would have been teenagers in 1969, which was like the peak time for hippies and, you know, free love and marijuana.
Were those boomers, though? I guess they were very early.
Early boomers, yeah. So, but prior to that, not so many people had used cannabis. Anyway, thank you, Olivia, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Ian. Hi, how are you? How you doing?
What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. It popped up on my phone, and it's a video. It's an attorney. He's Andrew Pollucci out of Virginia. And he does, like, funny skits and everything. He teaches you, like, don't talk to the police.
Okay, good advice.
Don't let the police search your car. Don't let the cops in your house. Matter of fact, he teaches you, don't even answer the door. Hide. And they're funny videos.
Also, like pretty good advice. Yeah, I mean, you as I understand it, I'm not an attorney, but if the police are at your door, if they haven't busted the door down, then and they don't have a warrant to do that,
right,
then you've no obligation to, you know, answer the door for them.
And if they do have a warrant, check the name, check the address, check the dates, check for a judge's signature, because well, my dad had a vehicle repossessed. I don't know what that sound is.
I'm gonna turn it
but
down.
My dad had a vehicle repossessed because he was a piece of crap and never paid for anything. And they sure enough, they showed up at our house with a court order that was not signed by a judge. And if my father, despite all his flaws, had not been smart enough to look through this and check for the signature, he would have lost his car.
If it's not signed by a judge, it ain't an order.
Nope. It was a meaningless. It was an attempt by the owner to the owner just or the leasee, whatever it was, just typed up this thing and had some friends show up. It was like, here's with a tow truck. We're taking this vehicle now. We got this order here, and I guess that's not considered perjury. I don't know how that works. I guess he never claimed it was signed by a judge. He just sort of implied it.
All right, Joe. What else?
Okay. Well, the reason why I brought him up was because he had mentioned that he has a Bitcoin tip jar on his desk. And I just thought that was so funny in a video.
I think it's great. More attorneys should be taking cryptocurrency. There aren't enough of them that do. We got a couple here in New Hampshire. Thank you, Joe, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. We continue with Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes. There's a bill going up in the roundhouse about getting free sanitary napkins and products for schoolgirls here.
Does this make you excited?
Well, you know, it just kind of interesting that it popped up. That
I had to look it up. A sanitary napkin is apparently a pad. I did not realize what exactly that terminology was. I'd heard it used before as like a quote-unquote feminine product, but I'd never actually looked into what it meant. It is a pad for menstruation.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I didn't know.
Well, the menstruation products will be available that they're trying to pay for so that girls could get it like a soda pop or a snack machine. I don't know if they have to pay for it or what. But
I would assume they would not have to pay for it, and I'm totally okay with this. I mean, if the government's going to spend money on stuff,
if you're going to force teenagers to be in your school, which is like, you know, day prison. If you're in prison, they got to provide you with a tampon or a pad, so it would make sense that you would get the same thing from the day prison of the government school. So,
that makes sense. It's just like toilet paper. Imagine going to a school and them saying, oh, no, we don't provide our students with toilet paper. That's commie nonsense.
You got to bring your own from home.
Don't bring that commie crap here your Cottonelle or whatever. No, it's common sense that these basic hygiene products should be provided by the school. It can't cost that much money.
No.
And in the grand scheme of things that schools are doing, I can think of a lot more objectionable stuff than giving tampons to girls who need them.
Yeah. Sarah, I guess we're going to agree with you on this one.
Yeah, but, you know, why did it take so long? And the thing is that it will cost
billions
of dollars. Well, the reason that they're doing this, it's very expensive to buy, like, Playtex that really work well.
They're not going to buy Playtex.
No, Sarah,
like $7.
Have you ever used? Have you ever seen the toilet paper they use in public schools?
You think they're just going to get the cheapest thing?
Yeah, they're going to get the cheapest thing possible.
They're not buying Playtex.
They don't need to be buying Playtex either.
I agree.
It's just a damn pad. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want the highest quality, get your own damn pads. Otherwise, here's the ones the government gives you. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good middle ground. And, you know, I don't want the school doing any of this. I don't want governments taxing. I would much rather the public school have some sort of fundraiser thing to pay for these things. But whatever, we're going to use taxes for it. I can still think of a lot more objectionable things they could use tax money for. That said, I'm not a fan of it. I don't want the kids to be forced to be there, but...
Yeah, I want them to shut the whole government schools down. But in the meantime, if you're going to force somebody to be there, then you got to give them a place to pee, and you got to give them some food and whatever, right? Like, you are essentially... they are your ward in that particular case, and you got to keep the ward alive, you know?
at the bare minimum, it's their responsibility.
The government, you know, we've talked about how the government at all levels has no obligation to protect you. There's been these Supreme Court cases. There's an exception to that, and the exception is if you are their ward. If you are in their custody, they actually do have some sort of obligation to, like, keep you alive, right? Like, they don't do a good job at it. The health care in the government prison system sucks. And they, you know, certainly aren't obligated to give you good health care, but they are, to some extent, obligated to keep you breathing.
Yeah, if they see you choking, they are legally obligated to attempt to do the Heimlich maneuver or whatever in order to, you know, keep you alive. Whereas if you're out there choking on the streets, they could legally walk right by you.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fact.
And I suspect most of them would not, but, you know... When you're in their custody, it's not up to their discretion.
We go to David in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. David, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, hello to the my friends at the FBI listening in. How you doing, guys?
What's on your mind?
Gals. Lots of things.
How are you tonight, David?
better than you, are you, James?
I don't know. I'm doing pretty great, man. In fact, my boyfriend told me yesterday that I was smiling in a way that he had never seen before. I was smiling with my eyes, he said.
I got laid for the first time in a while, huh?
Who, me?
Yes, David,
I never get laid. Never.
I can believe that, are you? I can believe that.
Speak facetious. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
Yeah, Chuckles the Clown in Longview. Don't believe anything or a word that my buddy Chuckles says.
Who's Chuckles?
Caller from earlier. Chuck.
Yeah, my buddy Chuckles.
David, how do you have so many disputes with other callers, man?
This is new to me.
I said my buddy Chuckles the Clown. I don't think
calling somebody a clown is generally something that is considered an endearing term. But
he also said not to take anything he said seriously.
Ask Chuckles the Clown about it if he takes the.
We're not
going
to bother. If he wants to comment on it, he can. But what else, man?
Kate Talks, there was an allegation, a credible allegation by a caller into Kate Talks, Kotex, whatever you want to call it, maybe Playtex, that and let me interject.
God, can you just finish a damn sentence without interjecting yourself?
No, you guys need to bump up your IQ so you can follow along at home. So
I'm trying, man.
I have a neighbor.
I'm still back there on Playtex, though.
James, no matter how hard you try, you'll never be able to follow along. Never.
Okay,
never, right, never.
Goodbye.
It wasn't even me
David. He didn't have to be dead-naming you
That's
that.
That's true, he didn't, but... It wasn't even me this time, David. I would have hung up on you too, though. So.
The number, 603-283-6160. Just get the damn point out. He just interrupts himself all the time. He's ostensibly calling about one thing, but he wants to talk about five other things prior to finishing the sentence about the one thing that he's calling about.
I have to admit, that was weird. I don't think I've ever heard someone interrupt themselves like that.
Except for David, because he does it all the time.
Yeah, that's absolutely the only way of putting it. I'm used to other people interrupting one another. I mean, and here on the radio, that's more or less how conversations have to happen. But David, honest to God, interrupts himself.
Cannot make a straight point. So speaking of straight, the Colorado baker who has been in and out of the news for the last, 15 years? It feels like this guy's been picked on for almost as long as I've been on the radio. I'm curious as to know when it was that this dude first got into a legal battle.
I feel bad for the guy at this point. I mean, he's just trying to have a career. They've made his whole life this battle against LGBTQ people, when really all people had to do was leave him the hell alone.
2012, according to this story here at CBSNews.com, it was 2012 when this gentleman first got brought into court. He's a Colorado baker who has previously won a partial U.S. Supreme Court victory after refusing to make a gay couple's wedding cake because of his Christian faith, has now lost an appeal in his latest legal fight involving his rejection of a request for a birthday cake celebrating a gender transition.
Wait, I remember this. We covered this when it happened. It was an attorney who did this, and she went across, she went from one city to another. She chose this guy specifically and targeted him. I don't remember all of the specifics, but I do remember that she was from several towns over. Or maybe it was a he. I don't remember.
Well, according to the story here, the Colorado Court of Appeals has ruled that the cake that Autumn Scardinia requested from Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop was to be pink with blue frosting. The court in Colorado said the cake is not a form of speech. It also found the state law that makes it illegal to refuse to provide services to people based on protected characteristics like race, religion, or sexual orientation does not violate business owners' right to practice or express their religion.
That's fundamentally not true, though. He has the right, damn it, to say, no, I don't want to bake you this cake. You don't have the right to tell him he has to use a pink cake with blue frosting.
Right. In my opinion, he doesn't even need to mention his religion.
No.
He should have the right, based on being the business owner, to say, I don't want to make a cake for you. And he doesn't have to tell you why. Now, I think he should be able to. I think he should be able to say, I don't like you trans people.
Right.
And I don't want you coming in my store. And I don't know if that's how he talks, but I think he should be
probably.
Able to.
I mean, why the hell would you want this guy to bake you a cake?
I don't
right?
know.
If I was like, okay, well, why don't you want to bake me a cake? And he goes, because I don't like you trans people. Oh, all
okay,
right.
See ya.
I don't want to eat anything right. You have to serve anyway.
Right. Like, you're not going to watch him bake the cake, right? You put
right.
the order in, you go home, he bakes the cake at some point. I'm sure he's a professional and all and is probably not spitting in your cake, but you don't really know because you're not there.
Yeah, in all my years of food service, I've never seen anyone mess with someone else's food like that, but like, why would you even want to expose yourself? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but why even expose yourself to the possibility? Just go somewhere else.
Relying on the findings of a Denver judge in a 2021 trial in the dispute, the appeals court said Phillips' shop initially agreed to make the cake, but then refused after Scardinia explained that she was going to use it to celebrate her transition from male to female.
Right, that was exactly, yes. I was going to reference the baker and not the trans person, but she wanted this cake. She described it for him and everything was
right.
fine.
She could have just had her cake, but
yep.
no, she and wanted a legal fight.
Exactly. She specifically sought this out. She was like, I'm doing to this guy. She knew this guy.
Yep.
She knew that he was
there.
The one from the bake the damn cake thing. She knew. She went to him on purpose. She told him she wanted a cake. She just wanted to make a name for herself.
The court said, quote, we conclude that creating a pink cake with blue frosting is not inherently expressive, and any message or symbolism it provides to an observer would not be attributed to the baker, said the court.
No, that's crap, because the lady told him what the symbols meant. She specifically told him that was why she wanted the blue and the pink. So that's the symbols. You can't separate her blue and pink cake from that meaning because she's already given it that meaning.
Well, they're saying that a observer wouldn't per se know, right? They wouldn't know for sure what the meaning was, and if they were told the meaning, they wouldn't know who made the cake.
There's a reason I've never worn blue and pink eyeshadow together. I wear a lot of colors together, but I don't wear blue and pink together because those are the trans colors, right? That blue, white, and red, yeah, that's the trans colors. I suspect most outside observers would know that.
I don't know what the trans colors are.
It's just red, white, or pink, white, and blue. It's usually more of a pinkish than a red.
Well, look, as far as somebody having to associate their name with their views, speech doesn't require that. Like, for instance, you can have anonymous speech. So the fact that by looking at this cake, like, let's say you knew what the colors meant, okay? The person observing the cake knows what the colors mean, understands that this is a transgender reveal cake or whatever it is. Even though they don't know who made the cake, It is still an expression by the artist, although the artist did not sign it. In the same way, somebody who does graffiti, let's say in an area where there's permission, right? Because
right.
graffiti is generally not wanted. But there are some areas where there's just like a wall, like a wall provided by a business or a charity or government or something like that. They have this in, I saw this for the first time in Venice Beach, California, when I was out there for a radio conference. They actually have like a wall, a concrete wall, and people can just go and tag graffiti on it all day. So, like, graffiti just constantly gets put up on this wall. It goes over top, graffiti over top of graffiti over top of graffiti over time. And it's kind of a cool
okay.
thing, you know, to kind of give people that outlet to
right.
create those things. But it's temporary, so you do your graffiti, take your picture, and then, you know, you come back tomorrow. It's probably not going to be there because somebody else has tagged over it.
So that's nice.
Yeah, so it could be something like that. And in the case of graffiti, you don't know who made that graffiti, but it is still an expression by the artist, and they still have the right to express that thing. So his argument that this is a free speech cake is kind of an interesting argument from that extent. Now, that the court disagreed with it, and that's why he's going to probably be appealing in this case.
He's right, though. Everything that a person creates is an expression of, is a form of speech. I don't care if it's just baking a cake or if it's rolling a burrito or whatever. There is always a way where you can instill some sort of message in it.
He is represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, and he maintains the cakes he creates are a form of speech and plans to appeal the Colorado Appeals Court. Quote, one need not agree with Jack's views to agree that all Americans should be free to say what they believe, even if the government disagrees with those beliefs, said their senior counsel.
And even more to the point, I don't agree with what this guy says. I think that would be obvious, but I want to know who the homophobic and transphobic business owners are so mm-hmm. I can go elsewhere. When you create this world where they can't express it,
yeah.
then you end up being a customer of these places. You're subsidizing the lifestyles of someone who's probably spending some of their money on these Pray the Gay Away organizations or whatever. They're openly homophobic. If they're openly transphobic, then you can just know to avoid them. I want to be able to avoid them.
Phillips was set up. Oh, so this is the attorney for Scardinia, the woman who brought the case. She says, they just object to the idea of her wanting a birthday cake that reflects her status as a transgender woman because they object to the existence of transgender people. So what? He's
yeah.
free. He should be free to have that opinion. And in 2018, the Supreme Court in the U.S. ruled the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had acted with an anti-religious bias in enforcing the anti-discrimination law against Phillips. After he refused to bake a cake, the justices called the commission unfairly dismissive of his religious beliefs. But they just keep on harassing this guy over time, rather than just taking their business to someone who supports them or opening their own damn cake shop, which would be the way you handle things in a free market. We'll see you tomorrow night. I'll post it at social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation
reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.